It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state cartographer's office is in the midst of an ongoing project to make Wisconsin's maps more accurate. It's currently documenting phantom locations that are on maps of the state, but they aren't actual communities.
Howard Varigan is Wisconsin's state cartographer based at UW-Madison. I talked to him earlier this month. I started out by asking him what he does when he finds out that a name on the map doesn't have much there.
Sure. So, you're talking about unincorporated places as well as cartographic phantoms, or at least that's what we call them. So unincorporated places are simply typically small rural locales where there might be a few homes, and there's typically some sort of sign that says, yes, this is a place called whatever. Cartographic phantoms, on the other hand, are places, often unincorporated places, that have disappeared for one reason or another, often because the population moved away. The tavern burnt down on the corner, and so there was, you know, people didn't congregate there anymore. Sometimes because the place was miscoded on a map, and it was actually something more akin to a railroad crossing, but was shown on a map as being a community. So a lot of these cartographic phantoms, when you show up in that locale now, there's really nothing there at all, even though you'll find them on maps and even though you'll find them looking on your iPhone, looking at Apple Maps or Google Maps.
There's got to be a lot of fascinating stories. I wonder if some of these are maybe wishful thinking, like I'm a land speculator and Rob's Corners is the town of the future. And well, it never came to be, but the name stayed on a map somewhere.
That is absolutely true. There are cases like that where towns were settled and platted and people were hoping to make scads of money. And then the railroad, you know, passed 5 miles to the south and the, you know, village pretty much disappeared.
On a practical level, you mentioned this might show up on an online Google Map, Apple Map, whatever. One worry is people are driving along and saying, oh, I'm almost to Rob's Corners. Maybe we can stop for gas there. Well, Rob's Corners is just the intersection of two roads with maybe farmland here and a forest there.
Exactly right. And that's one of the reasons that for the project that we're working on at the State Cartographer's Office. We don't want to remove these places from the map, per se. We want to reclassify them so that they do show up as historical locales, perhaps. There still might be an old building or something like that there, so they're interesting from that perspective. But they're certainly not places where you could stop for gas or cappuccino or something like that.
And I love that part of the effort. You're not looking to pull out the eraser and take these places off the map. You want to preserve that history. Why is that important for you?
Well, it's important from the standpoint of both history as well as the standpoint of cartography. I mean, one of the purposes of maps is to record and document what is there on the ground. So simply erasing something from the map because it's a place that used to exist that doesn't exist now isn't really an appropriate thing to do. You may not show it on every map. You know, your map may not be appropriate to show historical places, but you don't necessarily want to erase them simply from, you know, from history or from memory.
Now, I've heard, I don't know if this is cartographic legend or not, I've heard that sometimes mistakes are introduced into maps intentionally for plagiarism reasons, copyright reasons. Is that something that actually happens?
It does. It's probably not as widespread as the myths would suggest. Those are sometimes called copyright traps. And in the past, they were introduced into some maps to, so that if a competitor copied your map, they copied the place that didn't exist and you'd know that they did it. So it does happen.
And now do you – I saw on the State Cartographer website, you've got some pictures of these cartographic phantoms where somebody has gone to the place on the map where it's supposed to be and – observe the lack of community there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because there's a couple of us who have been doing this research. Personally, I've visited probably over 1,000 of these, either unincorporated places, which do exist, or cartographic phantoms, which don't. Every county in the state, aside from Milwaukee, has cartographic phantoms and unincorporated places in them. So our goal is to simply go to these places and take a geotagged photograph, like on an iPhone, because that gives us the latitude and longitude, and it gives us the documentation of, yes, there's a place here, or here's the sign on the road that says it's Rob's Corners. So we've been to numerous places like this, and just trying to document their existence or non-existence, I guess you could say.
Something huge in the world of maps in my lifetime, your lifetime, paper. right? I used to have a paper map when I went anywhere, or a triptych or whatever, and now we've gone digital. What are your thoughts? The advantages, or and maybe some of the things we lose when we change that?
So there are certainly implications of the loss of paper maps. It's good and bad, I would say. It's a huge question also. I mean, it's hard to answer. That's really a thesis or, you know, a dissertation or something. But I do believe that people have probably lost some of the abilities that we used to have for really deeply understanding how maps work and reading maps and so on. On the other hand, everybody's got a map in their pocket now. And as somebody who loves maps, I have to say, well, that's a good thing because people are interacting with maps on a day-to-day basis, which is something that they didn't necessarily do 15 or 20 years ago.
Now, on the daily basis, what we're interacting with maps for is to figure out how to go from here to there. That is just a small fraction of the kind of information, though, we get from maps. Can you give us a taste? Like, I often wish, and maybe there are maps, like, how many cows are there per unit of area in this county or whatever, a sense of the kind of information we can convey best in map form?
Well, another huge question. And, you know, where do you begin? You know, another one of the transformations that's really happened over the last 15 to 25 years is the growth of geographic information systems as a way of storing and analyzing geographical information. And, you know, back in the days of paper maps, it wasn't necessarily that easy to answer questions like that. Mm-hmm. But now it's relatively easy to take a map showing, you know, the number of cattle density per area and then overlaying that with some geographical unit that you're interested in, you know, some sort of boundaries, parcel boundaries or municipal boundaries to do those sort of what-if questions. So the application spans a very wide range from all of the disciplines that you could imagine at UW-Madison, for example, you know, many of them are now coming into the kind of the realm of geographic information systems. And that includes everybody from public health to, you know, engineering and geology, and environmental science is huge in this area, geography, sociology, even history and the humanities. Mm-hmm. You can analyze historical texts to extract the geographical information from them and create visual displays of what this particular novel looked like in the mind of the author. So it's kind of, you know, like I said, endless or limitless the uses you can apply geographic information systems to.
Howard, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Absolutely.
Howard Varigan is the Wisconsin State Cartographer based at UW-Madison. We talked to him about the world of Wisconsin map making and his team's effort to document cartographic phantoms in the state's maps.